Welcome to Richardson's Cove Baptist Church. We're glad to have you. Tune in with us and Dr. David Ayers from our Sunday morning worship service as we study God's Word together.
Man, thank you, Miss Courtney. We appreciate that. Good to see everybody out today. Glad to have all you with us this morning. Scotty, get us fired up, buddy. I thought we was going to bump there for chest bump for a minute. I thought, well, we can't, you know, we got to keep our distance, so we couldn't pull that off. But it sure is good to be with you guys. How ironic that today, you know, we're looking through the fruit of the Spirit and the nine elements. Today's all about patience. Wow, the last thing I need in this whole world is patience. I don't want to be patient, do you?
No.
I refuse to be patient because we know how we get patience. Tribulation worketh patience, and I don't want to be patient. I don't want to go through the stuff that I have to go through to understand what patience is all about, even though I know there are great things that patience brings. But nonetheless, here we are. And so we're going to be looking at patience. One quick thing. I want to thank you for your prayers for my nephew, Tommy Ayers. He was in that accident this week and had surgery last night late. And he's back home this morning. They're going to be able to watch maybe a couple of weeks to determine whether he'll be able to have any vision in the eye. So we're not sure of that yet. But the surgery went well. And thanks so much for your prayers. I ask you to keep Tommy. We call him Little Tom. Keep Little Tom in your prayers. If you'll stand with me, we're going to look in Genesis chapter 29. We're not going to relate to this passage a lot during the message, but I think if we're talking about long-suffering, if we're talking about patience, this is a beautiful passage for us just to get a sense of what long-suffering is all about. Verse number 15 of Genesis 29 says, "And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, should thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be?" And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, "I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter." And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me." And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. They seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her. Isn't that way when you're in love? Isn't that how it is? Oh, the months and years just seem like a couple of days. Where are we at, verse 20? "And Jacob served 7 years, seemed unto him a few days." Verse 21, "And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place, and he made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him. And he went in unto her, and Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid. And it came to pass in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me?" I can imagine. He said, "What is it thou hast done done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore hast thou beguiled me?" And Laban said, "It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn." I'm thinking, could he not have told us that beforehand than to be surprised on your wedding day? And remember, he put in 7 years. Verse 27, "Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. And he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, this his handmaid, to be with her. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah. And he served with him yet 7 other years. Let's pray. God, we just read this passage and we laugh, Lord. We don't even understand why such things even happen. And God, if we sometimes don't laugh, then we will go crazy. If we don't find humor in some of the things that happen within our lives, they will overtake us. And long-suffering, patience, as we're going to look at today, God, we know we need it now more than ever. And I pray, God, that you will let that fruit, let that part of the fruit of the Spirit be ripened within our lives today, that we will be patient, that we will be long-suffering. and long to anger. God, help us to be the people you've called us to be. Forgive me of my sins and all the many iniquities in my life, and help me to glorify you through my life. And be with us, God, as we look into this this subject of long-suffering. And help us to be this. Help us to be patient, God, in all of our life, in everything that relates to us, everything we deal with. Give us that beautiful gift of patience. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I don't know if he, I think the way it reads, it almost seems that at the end of the 7 years that he ended up marrying Leah, and he said, go ahead and give her her week first, then we'll negotiate on the other. It was a week, the ceremony of the wedding lasted a week. He said, let's don't get all up in arms now, been out of shape. Let's finish the week, then we'll spend another 7 years and you can have the one that you actually wanted. So he spent 14 years to get the wife that he wanted to get. Talk about patience. Talk about long-suffering. I looked up long-suffering, and I want to make sure we define these words as we go through them so we'll understand exactly what it is that God's telling us. What does he mean when he says you need to have love, joy, peace? Now he's telling us we need to be long-suffering. So here's the definition of long-suffering in that particular instance where we're looking. In the fruit of the Spirit. It means to be patient. Patience, well, that's an obvious one. It also means endurance. So patience also is endurance. How many of us really enjoy enduring through things? We love to stick it out. We love to tough it out. Nobody does. Constancy, which basically is the same as endurance. Perseverance. I like that word. Persevere. We got to persevere. I think Scotty's used that a lot of times. We got to persevere. You know, when he talks to the ball team, we can't give up, but we got to persevere. We got to be slow to avenge wrong. I think that's interesting, isn't it? So he's saying the longer we wait, the longer, the slower we are to avenge when we've been wronged in our life, then the more chance we have of not being vengeful and spiteful in how we deal with that person when we talk about that situation. You know, there was an old movie. I love to watch those old movies, and old W.C. Fields was in a movie, and there was a kid that got just pelted in the head with a ball. I don't know, just came out of nowhere and banged him right in the head, and the kid was right beside W.C. Fields. And if you don't know who W.C. Fields is, I'm telling my age, man, this is bad. And so he helped the kid up, and the kid got the ball, and he reared back, and he was going to throw the ball, and he said, no, wait a minute, stop, count to 10. He said, well, what good's counting to 10 going to do? We know counting to 10 hopefully will help you to ease your aim. He said, well, hopefully it'll help you have better aim. So a little bit off kilter there, but patience is something we need to learn and we need to appreciate, and it will slow us down to avenge when we've been wronged. And this last definition is long-tempered. I like that. I think that's probably one of my favorites. Is to be long-tempered, to not be so quick to, how quick are you to respond or to react to situations that happen in your life? I'm going to say I'm very quick at times to respond, especially if it's something where I'm in opposition of. You know, we can fire off and be angry and upset and say something or do something. How many things have you done in your life? Do we have enough paper in my life? Do I have enough notebooks to write down the things I regret doing? Most of those things I regret doing is how I responded to a situation or circumstances that happened in my life. If I could just take a moment, if I could slow down and count to 10, it might better my aim. It might help me to be able to be considerate of the situation that's going on. Just because I think the person I'm dealing with is an idiot, they may not think they're an idiot. They may think they're right. And if I'm able to calm down for just a moment, if I can exercise patience, then perhaps, and I've tried to do this. I'm not real good at it. I'm not real good at this, but I try to do this. I've tried to put myself in the shoes of the person that is aggravating me so much. And if I can do that, If I can slowly drift over to their side and try to see the situation from where they see the situation, they may not be an idiot anymore. They might be a genius. I don't know. Doubtful, but at least I have a different perspective on the situation that I'm looking at. But better yet, if I'm not able to look at the situation through the eyes of the one that is across from me, if I could look at it through the eyes of my blessed Savior, Jesus, then I'm not just getting another person's opinion on the situation, but I'm actually getting God's perspective on what it is that lies before me. I'm able to view the situation from the perfect perspective, from God's point of view as He looks down on the situation. And I know we've said this before, but I think it rings true here that to have God's perspective means we've got to look at things from where He's at. I know God is here. I know the Spirit's here. No, I get all of that. But if we were to look down upon our problems from a godly view, from the third heaven, from the abode of God, how small and minuscule are those things going to be? They're going to be so tiny. It's going to be difficult to see the problem that's there. It's not going to have the impact on my life that it does if I'm down here in the midst of it. If I could look at life the way God looks at life, a lot more things would roll off my back than would affect me directly. Patience is what helps that along. Patience is something we need a whole lot more of. We don't want to get it because we know how we get it. But patience is beautiful and something we need. So what I want to do is I want to look at different thoughts pertaining to this patience. I want to first look at the patience that the Father has for us. If I'm going to be able to demonstrate patience, I've got to know where patience comes from. We know that patience is a gift from God. We know that it is truly something that we found out by it being an element of the fruit of the Spirit, that outside of a relationship with Christ, you have zero patience. Zero. If you're unsaved, you have zero patience. You may act like you are patient, but there is no long suffering, long temperedness. There is none of that going to take place in your life or my life until we get saved and believe in Jesus. So it comes from God. How did the Father deal with us in regard to patience? Exodus 34 and verse number 6 says this, "And the Lord passed by before me and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and in truth.'" 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance." The Father is patient with us. You know, when we think back when God created the world and He created Adam, then He took a rib from Adam and created Eve and put them in that garden, God knew exactly what they were going to do, didn't He? God was not blindsided by the sin of Adam and Eve. God wasn't caught off guard in the fact that His very first creation denied Him lordship in their lives, that God made this earth. He made this planet and this place for them. He created all the animals, everything. Why did God create what He created for us? He created all for us. God said, "I made all this stuff because God wanted to have a relationship with us. He wanted to communicate with us. He wanted to fellowship with us. God made it all for us." Then He put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and He knew that they were going to sin against Him, but God created them anyway. Talk about long-suffering. Talk about long temper. Talk about patience. Doesn't take long for me to get burnt up over something, but God was so patient. He knew every generation what was going to happen, didn't He? He knew everything that was going to take place, but God continued to be patient with us. Even after Cain, the first child born, became the first murderer, God was patient. I know what you're going to say. I know what you're thinking. Yeah, but God wiped them all off there with that old flood, didn't He? Where was God's patience during the flood? I got a good response to that. I think God's still very patient with mankind, even in the midst of the flood. How do you see that, preacher? Here's how I see it. I'm having a conversation with myself. How do you see that? Because I feel like God loved mankind so much that he knew it was imperative to save the remnant. Otherwise, all hope would have been lost. So it wasn't that God was impatient with mankind, I don't think, in that God allowed the flood to take place as much as God loved the remnant and he wanted the bloodline to continue. He wanted the righteous people to have an opportunity to not be, so they wouldn't be snuffed out in all the ungodliness. We're talking about some wicked people in the days of Noah and the flood. So God continued through generation to generation to endure through all these people. I mean, if I get aggravated at people, I don't know as much as God knows. How much does he know? He knows everything. If I get put out of place by somebody that just maybe says something wrong to me, God not only knows the words that people say, he knows the thoughts and the intent of every heart. But God remains patient with us. Wow. How patient is the Father? I'm going to say he's very patient. How many times would you and I have restarted the earth? How many times would you have reset? Click the reset button. Keep clicking the button. I don't like what I got. Let's do it again. Let's keep do it over and over until we get it the way we like it, until they do what I want them to do. I'm going to keep punching the button and resetting it. Flood, fire, whatever it is. I'm going to blow it up and I'm going to set a new one in place. How many times would you and I, if we were in the place of God, destroy the earth and start all over again? I think if I knew what God knew, I probably wouldn't do it in the first place. I'd just live around those angels and let them sing and rejoice all the time. I don't know if mankind would be worth it to me, do you? I don't know if it would be worth it to me. All the heartache they're going to give me, my own creation that I created and gave life is going to turn on me and hate me and despise me. Not only that, but it's going to cost me. I'm going to create something, and because I love him, because I love my creation, I'm literally going to have a part of myself is going to have to die for this creation. Boy, you talk about being patient. Well, that leads us to the Son. How much does the Son love us and care for us? And what kind of patience does the Son have for us as well? Matthew 23:37 says this, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. Jesus was willing to leave the glory and the splendor of heaven and come to this world. He was willing to suffer through. Jesus didn't just come and immediately go to the cross and die for our sins. Jesus lived here in that physical body. Christ was filled with that body for over 33 years. He lived here long enough to see a lot of stuff. And Jesus was patient with every stage of life that he was in. Even under 2 years old, they were terrorists trying to kill him. I mean, talk about Jesus had the power and the ability to click the reset button anytime he wanted to, but he said, no, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to endure. I'm going to be patient through this because there's a benefit to me being patient through this. You see, I think that's the goal of patience. The goal of patience is this. It's not to just make you suffer through something you don't want to suffer through. The goal of patience is this, is for us to be blessed, to be enriched, and to become a blessing to somebody else. Your patience becomes a blessing to somebody else. Somebody else will see that kind of endurance, and through your patience, you will be able, not might, but you will be able to encourage and help somebody else along the way. Patience is an awesome thing to have. When we think about love, joy, peace, who doesn't want those things? That's the first three elements of the fruit of the Spirit. They are intentionally first, because if long-suffering was first, we wouldn't read anymore. Amen? Amen. Love is first. Everybody wants love. Even if it's goofy, ridiculous love. We want love. We want to be loved. Everybody wants joy. We all want to run around and have a smile. We all want to have peace. Peace is a wonderful thing. I'm peaceful. Then he says, now let's be long-suffering, let's be patient. Wow, why did you put that right in there? I think God knew that he needed to prepare us for what we needed to be ready for, and long-suffering comes in where it does. We see the Father is patient with us. We see that the Son is very patient with us. Jesus was so patient, he knew that basically nobody he talked to got him and understood him. Nobody got him. Nobody understood what Christ was really all about. The Holy Spirit hadn't indwelt believers yet, so there wasn't that full understanding of oh, yeah, I get it now. I get who Jesus is. Once the Spirit came after Jesus had ascended and the early church, they got him. They really got him because the Holy Spirit was living in the believers, teaching them. Until that moment, the Holy Spirit was present, but it hadn't indwelt them. They didn't really get Jesus. So Jesus was patient for 33 years dealing with all those people. All the folks that accused him of things, all those that hated him, all those doubters, all those non-believers, scoffers, people that made fun of him, people that wanted him dead. Jesus was patient with all those people, and he put up with them his entire life. Jesus was even patient on the cross when he was dying. He's hanging up here on this cross, preparing to give his life for all those that had hated him, despised him. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Jesus dying, giving his life. And he was patient. He endured hours on the cross before he literally gave up the ghost. And he said, it is finished. Could Jesus' death have been a little bit quicker? I'm sure it could have been. But Jesus was patient. And Jesus endured every hardship he needed to endure. Did he have to go through the beating? The cat of nine tails that pulled and plucked the meat from his back. To literally, he was just a mesh of blood. Did Jesus have to go through that? Did he have to be patient to go through? I think, yes, he did. Jesus accomplished everything he had to accomplish to fulfill the scriptures, to fulfill all the prophecies that pertain to the Christ and the Messiah coming. So when Jesus died, he was able to rise again because he was and is and will always be the Son of the living God. Yes, Jesus is patient with us. The Father is patient. The Son is patient. Now I want to look at what is important to us Christians about being patient. If God the Father's patient, God the Son's patient, we know the Holy Spirit's patient because he lives with me. He knows how crazy we are. He knows firsthand we need a lot of help. But I have all these things that I need to understand now and distribute to be effective in the kingdom of God. So what this trait of patience is going to do for me and the Christian and how it's going to be seen and demonstrated in my life is going to first be through suffering. I jotted this down in that passage I talked about earlier, tribulation worketh patience. We stop there, don't we? Tribulation works patience. What does patience work? Does anybody know? Patience works experience. Then what does experience work? Hope. And it says we're not going to be ashamed because the love of God is going to be in our hearts by the fulfilling in the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what it says. So what's important about us going through, experiencing tribulations, enduring through tribulations? They're going to work patience. What is patience going to do? Patience is going to be a blessing to us, and we're going to gain experience through that hardship. We're going to be able to do something more difficult next time or the same thing again or help somebody else. We're going to gain experience, and that experience is going to gain what? Hope. If I can endure through this, I'm going to have hope to know I can endure again. Amen. And that hope is a gift that also comes from the Spirit of God. Don't just sit and think that patience is something we're going to get because we endure hard times. No, think of the benefit to be gained from having patience in my life. I'm going to have experience. I'm going to have hope that the Spirit of God is going to give me in my life. So we're going to be asked of God to demonstrate patience in suffering. 2 Corinthians 11:23 says this, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. This is Paul talking. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Paul is saying, if anybody thinks they've suffered for the cause of Christ, I have suffered greater than anybody has suffered for the cause of Christ. I don't think he was just boasting or trying to brag. He was just telling it like it was. He's basically telling those around him, you don't have any reason to complain of what you've suffered for the cause of Christ. I've suffered greater than anybody. You get in Corinthians and read beyond verse 23. He tells the entire list of things that he had suffered for. Several times he'd been stoned, thinking that he was dead. He was let down outside of the city walls by a basket. He was left for dead. I believe he literally went to the third heaven, and I believe that he saw heaven, and he wrote a little bit about it himself. The things that he experienced, all the suffering, not to count the fact that the many times he was in prison, he spent probably half his ministry or more in prison, confined. And I'm thinking, wow, if anybody had reason to complain, but what was Paul through all of his suffering? He said, I count it all glory. I count everything that I've experienced to the glory of God. If I have to suffer for the cause of Christ, then I'm going to suffer so that he will be glorified. Paul knew that tribulation in his life was going to work patience, and he learned patience. I would venture to say that Paul, probably before his salvation experience, was a very impatient person. But when Jesus got a hold of him and the Spirit came in, he understood what it was like to suffer, and he was willing to do it. Are you and I willing to be patient through the suffering of this life? Or are we going to let the suffering in this life overtake us? We got that choice to make. Well, preacher, you don't get it. I just don't have patience. I wasn't born with it. My daddy didn't have it. My grandpa didn't have it, and I don't got it. If you're saved by the blood of Christ, you have the ability to be patient. You have the ability to be long-tempered, to be long-suffering. You have that ability inside of us, whether we choose to believe it or not, or demonstrate or not, the availability is there, and it comes from a close relationship with God. When I'm close to Him and when I need that patience, it will be there and it's available to us. I think many times in life, we just don't want to be patient. I want love, I want joy, I want peace. Don't care a whole lot about long-suffering. You can keep that one, God. What we don't understand is the benefit that we gain from enduring through hardships of life. Let me ask you this. How many people have you seen that have endured difficult times of life? What an impact it's had on you. You know folks that have suffered through a lot of things. People that endure a lot of physical hardships. Maybe it just seems like in their life they faced a lot of adversity. When everything seems to be going right for everybody else, everything just goes wrong in their life. But yet you see them with that joy. You see them with that peace. You see them with that patience enduring through those hardships. I tell you what you don't see. You don't see them complaining to God and getting mad at Him over the situation they're in. They're hanging on to that hem of the garment. They're trusting in God. They're believing in Him. They're being patient and long-tempered and long-suffering through those things. I'm going to tell you, when I see people like that, it does something to me. It causes me to first be embarrassed of the way I act many times. But secondly, it lets me remember that's possible in my life too. I can endure through hardships. The world needs to see Christians enduring through suffering for the cause of Christ. Second, we need to be patient with others. Joshua 1 and verse 2 says this, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. I thought about this verse. The reason I selected that verse is because Moses has already been out here for 40 years with these group of people. He ran the biggest daycare in the world. Bunch of whiny, snotty babies for 40 years. And then Moses dies. You know what God says? Next man up, Joshua. Welcome. You get to take them all the way into the promised land. You get to help them go and gather this bunch and fight and take over this land of Canaan that I promised to give all my people. What was Joshua thinking? He said, yes, I'll do it. And I'm thinking, wow, we need to learn to, if Moses can be patient with those people for 40 years, if Joshua can be patient with a bunch of whiny people, what right do I have to complain about people that whine to me? I need to be patient with people. Do you have patience for people? Do you have patience for your family? I think sometimes we're more impatient with our family than we are with anybody else. You know why I think that's true? We see our family a whole lot more than we see everybody else. We get burnt out with our family, our kids, our siblings, our parents, whoever it is. We get on edge, and we're not patient with them. And then they'll look at us and say, well, why in the world are you patient and kind to everybody else when you're not patient and kind with me? Well, I don't live with them, we'll say. Well, we may not say that loud. Hey, we're getting real now, aren't we? But patience with people is something we need. We need to understand how important it is that we are patient and endure and long-suffering with the people that are in our lives. Most importantly, the people we love the most, we need to be patient with. Because if I want them to be patient with me, and I can understand I am a lot to put up with in my life, surely, surely I can be long-suffering with those that are in my life. Yeah, Joshua stepped up to the plate. He did a great job. And he was a faithful man to the very end of his days. We need to choose to demonstrate that same patience with people that are in our lives. And the last one is patient with God. You realize we need to be patient with God? What, do we really have to be patient with God? Is that one of our things? Yeah, it is. Psalm 27:14 says this, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Be patient. Endure. If God hasn't shown up yet, if God hasn't answered yet, if God hasn't given you what you think you need yet, you be patient and wait on God. God is not a fast food drive-through. And we need to be patient. We need to let God speak when God speaks. God will always speak truth. God has perfect timing. God will tell us what we need to know when we need to know it. Patience. Kind of glad this one's about over, aren't you? I don't really like it. But the more I looked into it, the more I understood. This is one of those little hidden nuggets of the elements of the fruit of the Spirit that, man, if I could get a hold of patience, my world would change forever. You just cut me off on the highway. Boom, I'm all over you. You may never hear it, but my dash is hearing it. I'm wearing you out. If I could just be patient, it would eliminate a lot of anger in my life. It would eliminate, I'm going to say, a high percentage of the regret in my life. I love it that Jesus, I know he would speak. I don't think Jesus responded quickly in most of his encounters with people that were trying to entrap him. You know, well, who is our neighbor? Well, what do we do this one we've caught in the act of adultery? I think Jesus intentionally paused. I want to think that he did because I think that'd be cool. I think Jesus paused. And then he said what he said. Many times he said it with a gentle voice. He just spoke what it was. He didn't jump and slam them down and body slam them and demand his way. But no, Jesus told it like it was. And Jesus taught us how to be patient. It's being patient doesn't mean you don't have to respond, but we must respond to things in life in a godly manner. That's what God's talking about. That's what this patience is all about, long-suffering is all about. It's letting God have His way, simply letting God have His way. Are you patient? There's only one way you can be patient, is by having a relationship with Christ. If you don't know Jesus, today would be a great day to get saved. The preacher, I don't have a clue what patience is. I didn't either till I got saved. But when we believe in Christ, when we embrace what Christ has done for us, and we become a child of the King, all these elements are available to us. Wow, it's just like every day we get to open up a new gift, and it's there. Patience is here for me. I can have it when I need it. Yeah, God gives me the ability to be patient, because I can't do it on my own, but God gives it to me. Thank God that He gives us the ability for the fruit of the Spirit to ripen in our lives. You don't have patience, you can get it. You can get it in a right relationship with Jesus. Stand with me and we'll pray and open our invitation. Our Father, we come to you today to thank you so much. We thank you, God, for the fruit of the Spirit that enriches our lives. We thank you for it being a precious gift of the Holy Spirit. We're thankful, God, that you love us so much that you imparted these things, and these elements to us so that we can experience in fullness, God, what you want us to have. We can identify more with the Spirit of God. We can identify more with Christ and His character. We can identify more, God, with you, our Father. We can learn more about you as we experience these elements of the fruit of the Spirit. God, I pray that today we capture patience. We're in a world of chaos. And we want to get out and do things. We want to demand things. We want to change things. We want to fix things. We need to be patient, God, and wait for your leadership. But when you lead, God, help us to be willing to stand and go where you call us to go, when you call us to go. Be with us, God, during this invitation time. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Check out rcbc.us for worship times and ministry information. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Psalm 29:11. And from our church family, God bless you.